Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Tag Podcast.
Should we start again?
Let's start again. Ain't no stopping us now. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode number 21 of the Tag Podcast. Woo! We're so glad you came to listen again, and we're so excited to have you back. Tom's especially excited.
No, that wasn't me. That was three other people.
They're excited too.
Woo! Four other people.
But we'll have to ask them to leave because they're, I don't know, burglars.
Get out, Mom.
God. It's my room.
Okay, what are we talking about today?
Today we are going to go through the Oscar nominations.
And whether we agree or not.
Whether we agree, who our bets are on. Mm-hmm, and yeah. we may do a quick roundup, follow-up once the results come in. But we may also not, so... Yeah. So don't hold your breath.
Yeah. let's start with, we're literally just going to go fire through these. So there's two writing ones. Let's go with writing of an original screenplay first. Now, two of those films strike me immediately. You've got the nominees are Birdman, Boyhood, Foxcatcher, The Grand Budapest Hotel, and... scroll down, Nightcrawler. Ugh. So, two of those immediately stand out to me. First of all is Birdman that we watched together.
We did watch. I think that was very good.
It was very good. It was very good. I'm not sure it will win.
By dint of my not having seen Boyhood, Foxcatcher, or Grand Budapest, and my complete and utter dislike of the film Nightcrawler.
Really? You've disliked Nightcrawler?
Didn't I mention that before?
Oh, I'm not sure you did. I don't remember
anything. Oh well, it didn't rustle my frusted pouch, I'm afraid.
Well, I've seen Birdman. I've got the Grand Budapest Hotel, but I haven't yet watched it. But it is Wes Anderson, and he does have, you know, he does have story structure. That guy, he's a good, you know. I've seen Fantastic Mr. Fox, and I've seen what was the other one that he did? It was the one before this. I can't remember the name of it, but that was really good. It was set on an island, and it was like a bit just sort of, well, it was just very Wes Anderson. It was very just strange. The Foxcatcher, I don't think it's going to win writing the original. But Boyhood is this film that took 12 years to make, isn't it? Because they started filming, waited 12 years for the boy to grow up, and then filmed the latter half of the film.
Oh, see, I don't know much about it at all.
That's all I know. I just know that they filmed half of the film 12 years ago, and then they filmed the next half of the film sort of recently, or at least more recently, when the boy had grown up. So it's a real, actual transition. It's real aging in the film.
That's interesting, isn't it? Again, a lot of this podcast may be me going, I'm going to give that film a watch. My money, given that it's the only one that I've seen that I enjoyed, would be Birdman.
I don't think Birdman's going to win the writing one. I think possibly Foxcatcher, because it's going to win one Oscar, and I don't think it could win any of the others.
It's a big American story. Yeah,
it's all about America.
America.
Unfortunately, other than that, I think possibly Nightcrawler, because I know, although Alex, you didn't like it, I know a lot of people did. And it's supposed to be dark and edges and have, you know, like so many edges to it. So, but again, I haven't seen it. So.
Rubbish edges. Mm-hmm. Rubbish edges. But oh well. I'm not board of directors material. Okay. Never mind. Let's move on.
The second one is, again, writing, but it's an adapted screenplay.
Yeah.
And we've got American Sniper, The Imitation Game, Inherent Vice, The Theory of Everything, and Whiplash. Now, Whiplash is a film that I've seen the trailer for, and I'm being told by numerous sources, this is an amazing film, oh my god, this film is amazing, blah blah blah, isn't this great? I just don't think I could get behind a film that's all about drumming that ends with a 9-minute drum solo.
Wow, I didn't know it was about that. Trouble is, again, it's a film that I probably should watch, but
yeah, probably going to.
Yeah, I think because when I saw the trailer that came up immediately after the trailer for Foxcatcher, and I thought, oh god, it's the same film again, but this time it's drumming instead of sports.
And... Well, I mean, the thing about Foxcatcher is, Foxcatcher is actually a true story. I don't think it's so much about, let's get this guy into wrestling and then, oh, there's trouble. I think it's primarily about the basically what Steve Carell's character does to, I think, Channing Tatum's character, because it's all about murder in the end. Whereas Whiplash is all, you can be the best that you want to be, and I'm J.K. Simmons, and... But as soon as I heard 9-minute drum solo, I mean, I remember when Revenge of the Sith came out, and they were like up in arms, like, isn't this amazing? We've got a 22-minute lightsaber battle. And I watched 22 minutes of the lightsaber battle, and probably 20 minutes in, I went, oh, this is long. I'm pretty sure 10 minutes in, I was like, are we going to see something now? Like, is something going to happen other than hitting each other with light sticks? Which is 10 but minutes, nearly 10 minute drum solo. I just can't get behind.
But, you know, that's over 120 times longer than the lightsaber battle in episode 4.
Well, this is true. This is true.
There was... very, very much a sort of croquet match.
Yeah, well, yeah.
when you think that was meant to be the rematch.
Yeah.
When you string the films together.
Yeah.
Idea.
But, I mean, with the other films, I mean, The Imitation Game, again, I haven't seen. It's supposed to be brilliant, though. That's Benedict Cumberbatch.
I have seen that. I very much enjoyed that.
I think it's going to be a real tussle there between The Imitation Game and The Theory of Everything, which I think is actually going to show throughout the entire Oscars. Unfortunately,
I think you're right. And while I did enjoy The Theory of Everything, I think The Imitation Game was a better story overall. But given that they're both taking real source material. Yeah. It's hard to show that in its favour because you know, World War II in almost every sort of setting is exciting to at least some degree.
Yeah, it's more exciting than a scientist. The scientist is Stephen Hawking and he has some pretty deep things going on. But at the end of the day, World War II.
Well, unfortunately, for me, The Theory of Everything focuses a lot on Stephen Hawking's wife.
Oh, really?
It's not bad, but you want a little more. I felt it wanted a bit more science and a little less relationship.
Yeah.
To be honest. Because, you know, some of the science bits were quite interesting and very good, and you buoyed up and wanted to see more.
Yeah.
And then you'd have half an hour of watching his wife, carry him out of a wheelchair or start having an affair with the choir master or something.
I think this entire Oscar season is going to be a tussle between those two films, which is why I think, again, for something like writing, which, I mean, you noted when we were just looking through these, writing is stuck right at the bottom of the page. I think because there's going to be a tussle between these two films, this is going to be their chance to give American Sniper the Oscar that they want to give it, just because it's macho American bullshit.
Quite possibly.
You know, how can they possibly allow a film that says, we're American and we're going to go show Iraq some freedom? How can they possibly not give that an Oscar? Loaded with freedom.
Not quite sure that's... How American Sniper goes, but
no, I've been told it's a very good film, and The only thing I'm worried about is it does feel to me, seeing that trailer, that it's sort of just glorifying the war a little bit. It's glorifying the fact that, oh, we're heroes going over there and showing them how to live and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I just can't get behind.
I can see where you're coming from.
American patriotism, when there is so much about America that is dodgy.
There's dodgy things about wherever you go.
Yeah. Right? I mean, the last film on there is Inherent Vice, and I haven't seen Inherent Vice. I haven't even seen a trailer for it, but
no.
The fact that it's on the writing Oscar and on not much else says to me that it's probably worth looking into a little bit. I mean, the screenplay's by Paul Thomas Anderson. I've seen that name thrown around a few times, so.
Well, it's, as you say, interesting that on the Oscars official website, they do have writing at the bottom.
Right at the bottom.
Just reminds you of the Futurama joke when they try to rig the Oscars and they're getting through the minor technical awards. I think they're up to writing. And it's sad to see how true that joke rings.
No, it is, yeah, absolutely.
Visual effects is the next one.
Go on.
So we've got Captain America the Winter Soldier, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, Guardians of the Galaxy, Interstellar, and X-Men Days of Future Past.
I mean, I think I'm almost 100% sure which is going to win that.
I'm going to say Interstellar.
Yeah,
would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it probably does deserve it.
With the films there's only one that would possibly contest with it. And it's Guardians of the Galaxy. And whilst the visual effects are good, you know, I don't feel that Interstellar just... I mean, it's Chris Nolan, so he's got this sort of hyper-realistic sense of what he wants on screen. So if anything's on screen, he wants it to be as realistic as it can possibly be. So the one thing that annoys me about the visual effects is... This is their way of going, look, see, we like blockbusters too, and they've thrown in X-Men and Guardians of the Galaxy and Captain America. Now, I mean, okay, it's because I like Marvel films, but I think there should have been at least some more recognition for The Winter Soldier. It's the first superhero film that...
It does seem like a huge amount of these... amount of the films on up for nomination are all ones from the end of this year.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, I know that's very often how it happens, but there seems to be barely any.
Yeah.
That were from the first half of 2014.
I mean, just scrolling through the nominations now. I mean, music we'll talk about in a bit, but I mean costume design, absolutely. Guardians of the Galaxy should be up for that. They've created an entire galaxy of characters and completely shown them off in different styles, different fashions.
The trouble is that probably crosses a lot of that crosses over the border with visual effects.
Yeah.
I understand why possibly they would exclude it from costume design.
I just feel that. Certainly some blockbusters. I mean, don't get me wrong, I understand why they don't immediately go for the blockbusters, but I do feel like there are some blockbusters that are just completely overlooked. Completely, like, going back to Captain America the Winter Soldier, if you took out the superhero element and just looked at it as a film where, instead of, like, the 50-year gap, Captain America was just a normal soldier and the Winter Soldier was just someone he grew up with. Took away any of the superpowers, and then instead of Arnim Zola actually being alive inside a machine, just some super hacker that's managed to. And I'm sorry, at the end of the day, they give us bullshit like that all the time in films. So if they just changed a few minor plot details to make it a fully fledged thriller rather than a superhero thriller, I feel it'd be up for nomination on a couple of other things. I think it's overlooked just because it's popular, essentially.
Yeah.
And not just popular with people who understand and appreciate cinema. I mean popular to sort of the people next door, you know, like just the general masses.
Mm-hmm.
Which upsets me a bit because I think a lot of films are overlooked because they don't sort of meet the Academy's criteria of it's got to be serious. You know, there's no Academy Award for comedy. Why isn't there?
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Okay, there are a lot of films that aren't fucking funny. But why isn't there an Academy Award for comedy? Any comedy film that's remotely funny is kind of overlooked because it doesn't meet their criteria.
Yeah.
The closest that really comes to it is the Grand Budapest Hotel, which is kind of a comedy, but not really. But because Wes Anderson has such a distinct style of directing and writing and filming, they have to look into it, you know, they have to nominate it because it's just too unique.
I think the trouble is going back to blockbusters for a minute, the trouble is none of the big blockbusters are groundbreaking anymore.
Yeah.
When you look back to Lord of the Rings, the fact that they you know
but only the third one.
Oscars sort of.
Only the third one. They were snubbed for the first two films.
Were they? I thought they got Best Picture.
Completely snubbed. They didn't actually get anything until Return of the King, where the Academy went, right, it's over, let's just give them some nominations. And, you know, they got a lot of awards because they deserved it. But, you know, that's my rant about the Academy over. Let's move on to, what's next? Sound mixing. So we've got American Sniper, Birdman, Interstellar, Unbroken, and Whiplash. I couldn't really comment.
Travelers, neither can I. I've not seen enough of them.
Birdman, I don't think I would. I didn't really note the music or the sound mixing in it.
No, there was good music in a couple of sequences there, but Interstellar as well being
Interstellar had some good bits, but it had some very strange bits as well. So I can only assume the film that would get it there would be Whiplash because
it's a film
about music. So, you know, if they've not paid attention to their sound mixing there, then really, you know, they've got a fucking Oscar for sound mixing, not an Oscar for comedy. Like, all right, okay. So, I mean, the next one I think is quite similar. It's sound editing, and you've got American Sniper, Birdman, The Hobbit, Interstellar, and Unbroken, and I think the sound editing there, I think that should go to The Hobbit. Just because I like Howard Shore. Actually, no, this is sound. No, hold on. Sound editing isn't even that, is it?
No, it's not. No. This is just, you know.
Again,
sound editing is just the thing I can't be bothered to do on the podcast.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. Interstellar definitely shouldn't win that. But I don't really know the difference between. What's the difference between sound editing?
Sound editing and sound mixing. Well, I think sound mixing sound mixing, I suppose, would be getting all the non-musical sounds,
and possibly some of the music as well,
and finding the right pieces for the film. Whereas sound editing is actually fitting those sounds and bits and pieces to the finished cut of the film.
I understand the term sound mixing. I suppose. I think it's the term sound editing I have a problem with, because sound mixing is sound editing. It is editing the sound. Like, there should be more. I don't know. This is just me picking on them there. But I couldn't really comment on the sound ones because the films that they've shown, I don't really know. And a couple of them, I don't give a fuck about. So I couldn't really comment on the sound, but I do think maybe there are a couple of films that have been overlooked there. Particularly, I mean, when I'm looking at that, there's a lot more effort that goes into the sound, at least the sound editing of animated films
If it were up to the popular vote, one would expect to see Guardians of the Galaxy in in one or the other for the for the awesome mix tracks.
Exactly.
Because obviously those aren't original music.
Well, that's the best selling soundtrack of at least this year.
Mm.
And it was great. It was an absolutely great soundtrack. And
yeah.
I mean, I'm just thinking. I'm thinking animated still. I'm thinking the Lego Movie, for example, where it's not even fully animated characters. You know, in that there's proper facial movements and everything like that. They've got to really focus on how the lips are moving to sync up the sound.
Mm.
I think that possibly, you know, that possibly should have got a better nomination, maybe a nod there.
Well, we know we're going to come onto that.
We're going to hit the Lego Movie later, So, I mean...
So, moving on, yeah. We'll, I think, skip over short films, live action and animated, because unfortunately I've not seen any of them. And would you like to do production design?
Briefly. I've seen, I literally sort of half an hour ago come back from watching Into the Woods.
Mm.
And that was particularly forgettable. You know,
I was going to say, when I saw the trailer for Into the Woods, it seemed quite confused. There didn't seem to be a strong direction one way or the other.
I find I have the same problem with a lot of musicals that are turned into films, especially recently, in that it's very, very, very obvious where the interval is supposed to be. And I feel like I need a break. I'd still go back and watch the second half, but I just want 5 minutes to go. Okay. So, I like Into the Woods. I think I'd prefer it on stage. And the worst thing is, there isn't anything particularly bad about it. It's just there's nothing that stands out, which I find, and I'm sure there are people who like the work of Stephen Sondheim, but I don't really appreciate Sondheim. It's just not me. And so I find that with a lot of his productions, they are quite forgettable. I understand why people like them, but similarly, I think people understand why I don't like them. And it's just that the actual songs themselves. When I'm going to see a musical, I like for a song to stick in my head after, not just one particular bit of one song that is at the beginning, and that's only because they repeat Into the Woods 30 fucking times in one song. So yeah, I mean, production design, I don't think Into the Woods will get it. I'm looking at it, maybe The Imitation Game, but
I was going to say the look of some of the sets of The Imitation was very good. Particularly the cheering machine itself.
Yeah.
Stood out as a brilliant sort of set piece, and the office where they were working was all very good and very convincing. I thought so. I would I'd probably throw my hat in for that one. Interstellar was good too, but I found a lot of the Earthbound sets a little unbelievable, a bit sparse.
Yeah.
I know it's this sort of future where you have these dust storms and everything gets covered over.
Yeah.
But you'd think a little girl would have a bit more decoration in her room still than just a bookcase.
I'd probably go with The Imitation Game, although the Grand Budapest Hotel is particularly stylized.
Going through these nominations, that's the one I'm particularly annoyed I've not seen. Because obviously I've heard good things, but I don't know very much about it at all, unfortunately.
Yeah. Let's move on to music.
Yes.
Particularly original song. So you've got Everything Is Awesome from the Lego Movie.
Mm.
Glory from Selma. Grateful from Beyond the Lights. I'm Not Gonna Miss You from Glen Campbell. I'll Be Me. And Lost Stars from Begin Again. Now I'm gonna put it out there. I only know of two of those films, I think. I probably recognise the others if I saw a poster or something, but obviously the Lego Movie, and I know about Selma because of the whole sort of controversy at the moment that everyone's saying, oh, well, there's not enough black nominations in the Oscars, you know, and I've got my own problems with those complaints altogether, but I'll leave them for the time being at least. But I just because of those complaints, I know that Glory's going to win because this is pretty much one of the only nominations it's got.
I was going to say I'm not going to win many brownie points for saying this one, but I hope whatever wins, it's not Everything Is Awesome because
it's not Oscar material.
I just don't think it's such a great song.
It's catchy.
I mean, it's catchy, but that's all it is.
But it's not Oscar worthy.
All it's got going for it. So, yeah. I mean, it's, you know,
it's not Oscar worthy.
Maybe I need to listen to the whole song sort of outside the film, but yeah. it seemed repetitive and sort of clingy and yeah, no. Unfortunately, it's not for me. I know a lot of people like it, it's fun. It works in the film.
I was going to say, within the premise of the film, it works perfectly, and it's an absolutely fun song to listen to. And no matter where you are, you hear Everything Is Awesome. You know, you're gonna have a smile on your face. But I don't want to live in a world where The Lonely Island gets an Oscar. I just can't. And I like The Lonely Island. They're a really fun parody band. But that's what they are, a parody. And when you start awarding parodies like The Lonely Island, they start to stop being a parody of the things that they're supposed to be taking the piss out of.
Yeah.
And so, although I wouldn't be disappointed if Everything Is Awesome got the Oscar, but I just don't feel like it's really earned it. It's a fun song, but it's not an Oscar song. It's not an Oscar-worthy song. I mean, off the top of my head, I can't think of any big original. In fact, I can think of a couple. There's Fall Out Boy for Big Hero 6. That's a pretty good song. There was Alicia Keys for Amazing Spider-Man 2, but that wasn't Oscar-worthy. I can't think of it, of many original songs. But I think that's the problem, is that you don't really get that as often anymore. You used to get quite a lot. You used to get sort of a lot of song tie-ins and things like that, and songs made for credits of movies and things. And now, it's much easier to just buy the copyrights of a song that is already pre-established and use that than get a band to write a song, produce a song, you know, record it.
I think it's a shame that Where No One Goes doesn't quite fit into the category because it's too much a part of the soundtrack.
Yeah.
I mean, it is an original song, but
it's too much into a fantasy. Even into a fantasy would work.
True. Yes, but trouble is that wasn't in a lot of versions.
It wasn't in
there. Even on the credits.
Sure, yeah, pretty sure it wasn't in the Northern American release at least.
No. Which is a shame.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, I'm just trying to think, are there any other big original songs? I mean, now I'm thinking about it, I think the people who made Into the Woods are probably a bit pissed off. But I suppose that's not an original song, that's a song that was for the theatre. But still, it was created. I know there's at least one song that they wrote for the film. I don't know which one it is because I don't know the show that well, but I know that Sondheim was directly involved with creating a new song, so I'm guessing there's going to be people involved with Into the Woods that are probably a bit pissed off with that. And I'm sure there have been other musicals that have come out this year, probably, you know, smaller ones and things like that. So again, I haven't seen the other films. I don't really know the songs that are there. So, but I know Glory's going to win because of this whole backlash at the moment. I would be surprised to see if it didn't win. But let's move on to music original score, which I mean, there's one snub immediately that I'm very upset about. In fact, there's two.
Well, obviously, it's very, very irritating to not see How to Train Your Dragon 2 on there, Jonathan Powell, because the first one, I think, didn't get it. Would have gotten a nomination if the film had been a bit bigger in cinema release. The first film didn't have the cinema pickup.
I've just thought of an original song. Sorry, I've just thought of the original song I was thinking of, and I was thinking I've been saying to myself all day, I'm really fucking pissed off that this song hasn't been nominated. It's Billy Boyd's song for The Hobbit, which is the last goodbye, and that's a fucking brilliant song. Such a good song, and when I heard it straight away, I was like, that deserves the Oscar. That is such a good send-off to the entire series.
Yeah.
Like, that's such a nice song. I'm pissed off that it's not on there. That's right, yeah, carry on.
So, no, I completely agree with you on that one.
John Powell. Sorry, yeah, John Powell. Oscar, not even getting a nomination for it is a crime.
I know.
Because not only has he picked up on his themes that he had in the first one, that was snubbed, but then he's grown on them, introduced new themes, and it's still fucking snubbed. And then you've got Interstellar in there. I don't think Interstellar's soundtrack was particularly memorable. I remember Hans Zimmer in the build-up to it was like, oh yes, well, we're going to be doing all these new things with it. And I was like, ooh, what do you mean? He was saying like in interviews, like he's reinventing the way soundtracks are going to be made for the cinema. All he did was made the drums louder, which actually interferes with the speech of the fucking films. Like, there are people who have complained. There's so many controversial fucking, like, articles and things like that, like saying how the sound in Interstellar's awful because you can't hear what people are saying because Hans Zimmer's music's too loud. And Hans Zimmer stands by it and saying, that's the whole point, that's the experience of the film. Well, okay, I accept that, if that's what you want to do. But I'm not having you win an Oscar for it because I didn't appreciate it. That's not kosher. It is not halal. I will not work with it. And then the rest of them, I don't. Again, these all seem like films that are Oscar bait.
Yeah. No, there doesn't seem to be anything particularly worthy of it.
Yeah.
Hans Zimmer sort of, you know, he's fully known now. You know, it's these aren't the olden days when Hans Zimmer, you know, well, then again, he's been known to the Oscar crowd anyway for ages.
Yeah.
So it's not as if he's ever been snubbed there, really.
But it just pisses me off. The Oscars completely snub all the blockbuster releases, but the music in some some blockbusters is fantastic.
Yeah.
And it annoys me that they're getting overlooked. I mean, me personally, I think that Guardians of the Galaxy should have got a nomination there. Just the score alone was good.
Yeah.
It was memorable. It grinds my gears.
It does. I'd certainly say I'm not sure. Personally, I'm not sure the original score part of Guardians of the Galaxy. The trouble is, if it had been nominated on there, everyone would start saying, oh, the score's not original. Those are all songs I remember when I was growing up. So, no, you idiots. It's the music parts, not the song parts. But I'm not sure it's quite Oscar worthy. The Guardians of the Galaxy soundtrack, but certainly worthier than a lot of the ones on the list there.
Yeah.
I'd say. I mean, you've got Imitation Game and The Theory of Everything on there again. Yeah. I don't think either of them those had particularly standout music.
I mean, just off the top of my head, again, Lord of the Rings. The Hobbit. Now, I'm not saying The Hobbit was a good film, but the music has always consistently been fantastic from Howard Shore.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, at least now that it's the final one, there's not going to be any more, at least from Peter Jackson. I thought they'd give it some more recognition than just a couple of bum nominations, you know?
Mm.
I don't think there were many really memorable ones. But you've got to remember, this is musical original score now. And Into the Woods is an original score because it was made for the movie. And Annie was in there as well. Now, I know Annie's a remake, so I don't know where that works. But there were films out this year that are much more deserving of this music thing than what's been shown.
Mm. But it's a great shame and very annoying. But one day they'll listen to us. I mean, they won't. But
no, they're not.
But one day, none of this will matter once we're famous singers.
Well, definitely. No, it will. It'll matter even more.
Yeah, but our songs won't be part of the score. You know, we'll be going for the original song.
Yeah.
Anyway,
and we'll get snubbed from that because the Lonely Island is a lovely one.
Right. Makeup and hairstyling. There's one that I think Guardians of the Galaxy will win.
I hope so, because there's only three nominations.
Yeah.
Go on.
I think it might run up against the Foxcatcher.
I was going to say, the Foxcatcher would be the only one because of Steve Carell's nose.
Yeah. And, you can still tell it's him. You can see Steve Carell under there. You've not hidden him that well.
Yeah.
but I really hope Guardians of the Galaxy wins. I think that is where their costume design nomination is, I think.
Yeah.
Because the makeup of, you know, all the various aliens that were managed to be played by, you know, on real life people.
Yeah.
Was great. And the hair was good too. Hair was really good. So
I hate to keep going back, but I had 2014 movies googled, and there's two films that I feel the original score is more deserving of. Now, one of them I completely understand why they would never give this, but what they've got to understand is it was the highest grossing film of the year, and that was Transformers Age of Extinction. Now, it was a bloody shit film, and I liked the Transformers movie, right? It was shit. But the music was good. The music has always had the same theme. It's always kept that sort of heroic, sort of like, and very good. But I understand why they snubbed that. But
the Imagine Dragons song they commissioned for that film wasn't very good.
It wasn't great. But there was one awful film that was really good, and that was Gone Girl.
Seems
to have been snubbed completely.
Well, it's got Best Actress.
We'll get to that. But the soundtrack was really, really tense and suspenseful. I think that should have deserved a nomination. But makeup and hairstyling, I really do hope that Guardians gets that. I really hope that the Grand Budapest Hotel doesn't get it, because Wes Anderson has such a distinct style. But I think all of the makeup and hair still comes into, like, the production quality, the production design. It's all a part of it. Like, if you had just the makeup and hair, it wouldn't stand out as much. And if you had just the background, it wouldn't stand out as much. It's all one big piece. Like, it's all one single piece of the jigsaw puzzle. So I'm hoping that this is where the Guardians of the Galaxy Oscar's going to come, if they get one, which I'm not sure they will. Now,
fingers crossed. Anyway,
foreign language films. I don't speak any foreign languages. Do you?
I'm afraid I don't know.
Okay. Well, let's gloss over that one very quickly. Film editing. Now, there's one big nomination here. One big snub here that I'm very disappointed about, and that is, ironically, because it's been nominated for so many different things, Birdman, which was it was edited to look like one continuous shot.
It's very surprising that they wouldn't.
I think they've possibly taken that into account, because I know it's nominated for cinematography or something later on. But I don't think that comes into cinematography. Taking all of that footage and making it so that it is one, you know, that is impressive.
Yeah.
However,
I suppose in a way, with them doing lots of series of long takes, in a way, though the editing, there would be a couple of bits of tricky editing. There wouldn't be as much as a normal film would be. Perhaps I'm thinking on that one.
Yeah.
Which might be why I could see why they would put that more in cinematography.
Yeah.
Whereas the editing side, while it's still got to be good, you've got to cue it up with all the music and the sound and be very careful to make sure all the changing shots look.
You're thinking
like
because
shots.
A lot of it was one long continuous shot, maybe. I suppose I could understand that. I mean, again, American Sniper's in the film editing. I haven't seen the film, I couldn't comment, but it just does feel like they're throwing American Sniper in there just to say, look, see, we're still American, we still love America.
Fuck yeah.
The Boyhood, Grand Budapest Hotel, The Imitation Game, and Whiplash. I don't think Whiplash is going to win it, but I think with the... When you got to think that the drums have to match up to the audio, and it's... I don't know whether they've dubbed over afterwards or whether it's live, playing live and stuff like that, but I don't think Whiplash is going to win. I think possibly Boyhood could win.
I could see that, yeah.
With the whole 12-year thing, a lot of it's still going to make sense. And there are going to be some very big differences in the film, clearly, that they're going to have to take into account with that. And I think the film editing doesn't just quite come down to putting the film cuts together.
I
think Boyhood's going to be the one that wins that one.
I think your money's probably good on that one.
But I have heard American Sniper's good, so maybe they'll give it to American Sniper, because I know, as far as I'm aware, American Sniper isn't completely linear. So.
Right.
So that could be the one there.
Yeah.
I haven't seen very many documentaries this year, and of those that I have...
No, that's true. We're uneducated yobos, so
yeah,
we'll skip over documentaries.
And we're getting to the bigger ones now. Directing. So we've got Birdman, Boyhood, Foxcatcher, The Grand Budapest Hotel, and The Imitation Game, which seems to be sort of all five films that I've already talked about.
Mm.
And I think whatever gets the Oscar here is probably not going to get the Oscar for anything big like Actor or anything like that. Though they might do that, but I think The Imitation Game is going to get that one.
I'm not sure on that one.
However, I think possibly Boyhood as well.
I'm not sure on The Imitation Game, because while it was very good, I think there were a couple of sort of ancillary characters who didn't quite gel perhaps as well as they could have done.
Yeah.
There's a few scenes with various police officers when Alan Turing is arrested. That I think didn't quite go. They did and didn't. So I'm not 100% sure The Imitation Game should get that one.
Yeah.
I would hope that Cumberbatch gets the Best Actor one for that. That's the big one I hope Imitation Game goes for. Personally, of the two that I have seen, I would go for Birdman over The Imitation Game.
I think thinking about the way Boyhood was made again, with the whole 12-year sort of gap and things like that, possibly that.
Yeah, no, that may be the that may be the sort of token. Ooh, well done for doing a big time split sort of.
I mean, I haven't seen the film, but it could very much just look like a gimmick. It could just, you know. Could that have been achieved with CGI? Would it have been cheaper?
Well, I was listening to an episode of a podcast that I love called You Look Nice Today the other day, and their whole shtick is that they try to come up with business ideas, which are all deliberately and hilariously terrible. But one of the ones they did well recently was selling people as actors or casting people as actors who every year or every 6 months of their life growing up, they film various scenes that could be used in films. age six, there's a shot of you sitting on a train station platform. You know, that could be used for hundreds of films.
Yeah, yes.
That kind of thing. So it's nice to see that that kind of idea sort of actually really actualized. But I sometimes sort of I remember when I had ambitions to be a Hollywood actor. I sometimes wondered if I ought to, you know, film various bits and pieces that if ever they needed me, the way they'll raid actors' childhood photos.
Yeah.
To use.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. So, yeah, Boyhood maybe. I'm not sure. I don't know. It's quite a hard one to pin down on that one. But I'm going to go with Boyhood on that. Costume design is an interesting one. We've got the Grand Budapest Hotel, Inherent Vice, Into the Woods, Maleficent, and Mr. Turner.
Now, I know you weren't a fan of Maleficent, and neither was I. However, in this category, I think it's well placed. I haven't seen any of the others. But I will say that visually, Maleficent was one of the films I did enjoy, and I think the costumes were very well designed. Though there is always the quite obvious argument that Maleficent's design itself is not original. It's not original. It's really quite old, in fact.
Yeah.
But...
I think possibly there have been some films overlooked over the year, possibly, maybe, perhaps. none necessarily spring to mind, but I just don't like to see Maleficent in the Oscars at all.
That's fair enough. Actually, thinking back to talking about It's hard to say that they're excluding blockbusters when they've got Maleficent in there because that was a big film. But I think another big film that should be in there was Captain America because costumes in that were really good, really fantastic and unbelievable for that kind of film. And even the civvies that they wear when they're hiding from.
There's a good attention to detail with it.
Yeah, so I think possibly that should be in that category.
Yeah,
possibly maybe not the winner, but you know I think it's probably I would give it the nomination.
Yeah,
personally,
none of those costumes really stand out to me. That's the thing, except Maleficent, and I don't know. I just really don't want to see Maleficent get an Oscar.
That's true. It would be very sad if Maleficent did get an Oscar. But I mean, if it was going to win any, I think that's the one it ought to. And well, obviously it's the only one it's nominated for.
I mean, just thinking of a couple of films that have come out this year, like I don't know, maybe Edge of Tomorrow. Remember the Tom Cruise one that surprised everyone? The costumes in that were pretty interesting. Somewhat better than maybe, you know, I don't know. I haven't seen Inherent Vice. I was going to say Inherent Vice. Into the Woods was quite good, but only as good as you would expect from a film that is set in a fantasy world with princes and princesses. Really, it was quite generic when you consider that I was watching the TV series Once Upon a Time yesterday, and like, you could have easily just taken the costumes from set there, put it into the woods, and then there you go. The only one that stood out really was Meryl Streep, because her character's essentially the main character of all 5-6 main characters. So it was good. I do feel like they've sort of looked at this and gone, well, you know, Maleficent's the only one that really stood out, and then they've just thrown the others in there because they thought, well, these have costumes. So, I don't know, maybe that's just me. Unfortunately, I'm worried that Maleficent's probably going to get the Oscar for that one, just because they have kind of recreated this iconic look and made it believable. No, not believable, but wearable.
True. Well, let's not dwell then. Let's move on. Now here we go. Cinematography. Birdman. That's the one that should win. Grand Budapest Hotel. Ida. Mr. Turner. Unbroken. Now here is the category where Birdman deserves the Oscar for the continuing shot.
Yeah. If Birdman doesn't get the Oscar for this, I'll be so annoyed. but I do feel that. I do feel that there's a couple of films that have been struck off the list there. Now, cinematography, Unbroken, probably deserves to be nominated because it's the whole story about the Olympian in the World War camp, and I haven't seen the film, I've seen the trailer, and the trailer looks really good. In the fact that I haven't seen the film is just because I was too busy to see it when it was in the cinema. Mr. Turner is a film that I have little to no interest in, because it's about art, and frankly, I just do not care. I've heard it's a good film, you know, but I couldn't comment on the cinematography. It feels like the Grand Budapest Hotel has kind of been nominated for all of its different things for its cinematography. Costume design, hair and makeup, things like that. So I think, again, all of those things, although they're different people that have been nominated here for it. So with cinematography, it's Robert Yeoman. With costume design, it's Milena Canaro or whatever it says. I do think that all of these people are working as one unit under Wes Anderson, and it's all to do with his stylized sort of way of portraying things on screen. So I really think Birdman should win it, but there's just some films that really deserve to be looked at here. I mean, again, the Lego movie. The cinematography in the Lego movie, making every single thing Lego, at least deserves a nomination.
I think the trouble is, are animations eligible for cinematography, or
but not? You could argue with Lego movie, it's not just animation that are part of its spotlight as well. Don't get me wrong, a lot of it is CGI and things like that, but I don't know, and again, I'm going back to Gone Girl. I mean, I watched Gone Girl for the second time recently, and that film is really good, and the cinematography, that the whole, you know, it's dark and then it's light and then everything around it sort of reflects when the light moments are and the dark moments are, and I don't know, like, the one thing that struck me about Gone Girl was when the rated R, when the certification came up and it was an 18, and I was like, what? 18? And then, you know, all the way through, they've kept it pretty clean until the end, and I was like, oh, that's why it's an 18. Whoa.
True, a lot of the parts following Amy in the film were especially good. The cinematography, especially the bits in the house where it gets its 18 rating. Good though.
I mean, another film that probably deserves at least a nod from the cinematography, and again, it was a pretty shit film, but Sin City 2. You can't deny the cinematography of the Sin City films aren't commendable. To have such a lack of colour and yet such interesting sort of, but you know, either way, even if those films were nominated, Birdman still deserved to win. And I think maybe, possibly, that's why they've just got the other films there.
Yeah.
They know Birdman's going to win.
Yeah.
So, what's next? Ooh, big one. Big
animated
one.
Feature film.
Animated feature film. What's going to win, Alex?
Well, if it's not How to Train Your Dragon 2, then I don't think I'll ever be paying attention to the Oscars ever again.
I don't think How to Train Your Dragon 2 will win.
No, you're probably right. It'll probably go to Song of the Sea or The Tales of Princess Kaguya because they won't want a big blockbuster winning.
Yeah. How to Train Your Dragon 2 fucking deserves to win.
Mm.
The Box Trolls...
It was all right, but it wasn't deserving of it. I mean, it wasn't a bad film.
I'm genuinely annoyed the Box Trolls is nominated.
Don't get me wrong, I enjoy that studio. I really enjoyed Coraline and I enjoyed Paranorman. They were both really good films. And Box Trolls wasn't bad. I don't think it should have been nominated.
It shouldn't have been nominated over the Lego Movie.
No.
I thought the Lego Movie was a shoo-in for the winner for animated movie. I thought that was going to be the winner.
I am quite surprised that the Box Trolls was animated over the nominated over the Lego Movie. Yeah.
So given the titles that are there, I want How to Train Your Dragon 2 to win. I have not seen Song of the Sea or The Tale of Princess Japan. I feel that the Japanese one will win. And I don't know why. Either the Japanese one will win or Big Hero 6 will win. Big Hero 6 because we're the Academy and we love Disney. Ha ha! Or, you know, How to Train Your Dragon deserves to win. It just deserves to win. There is no argument. It deserves to win. And the fact that the Lego Movie was shunned is shocking anyway, because really, when you're looking at animated feature films, that deserves to win.
Well, I hope and pray and cross my fingers that with the Lego Movie not being nominated, that will be their act of blockbuster snubbing. And then the winner could actually be one of the blockbusters, which is How to Train Your Dragon 2, because it's the best there. I mean, don't get me wrong, I liked Big Hero 6, but, you know, we talked about how it didn't strike all the right keys for me. It was good, but, you know, I don't, and I think probably deserving of a nomination, but I don't think the winner.
No, it wasn't an Oscar winning film. I mean, I would argue that really I feel that How to Train Your Dragon 2 isn't a particularly Oscar-worthy film. But that's only by the Academy standards, not by my standards.
Mm-hmm.
If I could give it an award, I would give it several. Particularly the fucking music. But I've just got this deep, deep fear that the Box Trolls is going to win, and I don't know why, and I really hope it doesn't, because it just looks...
I genuinely hope it doesn't, because although the Box Trolls, you know, was good, it's a solid film, but it wasn't nearly as good looking as either Coraline or Paranorman.
I'll say this, are you going to see it again?
I think the only way I would see it again is if I bought a 3-movie collection of all three, because I did own Paranorman, but it's gone missing somewhere. I would happily buy a DVD of Coraline and Paranorman, and I could see Box Trolls being thrown in as a package of three. So that is the only, and if I bought it, I probably would stick it on at some point, but that is probably, unless someone else was watching it and I happened to be there, that's probably the only way I'd see it again.
Yeah. Okay. Let's move on to actress in a supporting role then.
Okay.
So we've got Patricia Arquette in Boyhood, Laura Dern in Wild, Keira Knightley in The Imitation Game, Emma Stone in Birdman, Meryl Streep in Into the Woods. Well, I've just watched Into the Woods, and the only character that really stands out, really, is Meryl Streep. Is it worth an Oscar? Probably not. And Emma Stone in Birdman, while her character offered some significance to the story, I don't think she massively stood out against any of the other characters. She was Emma Stone and not much else, I felt. That's not to say that Emma Stone doing what Emma Stone does is a bad thing. It's a good thing. I like Emma Stone. But I wouldn't give her an Oscar for being Emma Stone.
Yeah.
I'd give her an Oscar for being someone other than Emma Stone.
I'd agree with you there. I would...
I think I know who it's going to go to.
I would like to see it go to Keira Knightley.
I think it's going to go to Keira Knightley.
Because she was very good in The Imitation Game, but I worry that if she... I don't think if Cumberbatch gets Best Actor, I don't think she'd get Best Actress.
I don't think Cumberbatch would get Best Actor, and vice versa.
So if Cumberbatch wasn't guest Best Actor, I hope that Keira Knightley would get Best Supporting Actress.
Or
Best Supporting Female Actor. I wonder if that'll ever penetrate the Academy Award. But because Keira Knightley was very good. You know, she's very good. The trouble is, I haven't seen any of the other four films. I've obviously seen Birdman, but I agree with you that Emma Stone, it was good, but probably not.
Birdman, the whole premise of Birdman was held up by one thing, and that's Michael Keaton. But I'll move on to that when we get to the Best Actor.
I hope Keira Knightley, obviously that would be my pick.
The film Wild doesn't scream out to me as anything that I would ever see. It's about Reese Witherspoon going on an emotional journey, and frankly, I think she's been on far too many. in a similar way that you don't like how many times Owen Wilson has to learn a lesson, I feel that Reese Witherspoon has had far too many emotional journeys. And frankly, if there were a film where Reese Witherspoon had to go on an emotional journey to teach Owen Wilson a lesson, I think it would be the biggest convoluted piece of crap that they could ever make.
Have they never done that together? Surely they've been in a haven't they? It seems like, you know, they're both in the sort of same circle.
Annoyingly, when you put their faces together, you could definitely see them headline in a film, and it being absolutely mediocre. But
to the very last degree, yes.
But with the film Boyhood, again, I haven't seen Boyhood, and I'm worried that they've sold the whole thing on this gimmick of it was filmed over the course of 12 years. So I'm not sure whether Patricia Arquette's acting would necessarily is necessarily sort of up for nomination there. I don't really know. I couldn't comment, but I could. I mean, the thing with Patricia Arquette is, I know who Laura Dern is, I know who Keira Knightley is, I know who Emma Stone is, I know who Meryl Streep is. Patricia Arquette seems like one of those people that's been on Channel 5 a lot. So, I don't know, maybe this is a turnaround for it. I do know that Jennifer Aniston was in a film called Cake about depression and wanting to commit suicide, and from what I've read and from what I know about this film, it does sound like it's a bit of a crime that she wasn't nominated or at least that film wasn't nominated.
Was she supporting in that, or was she?
I'm not sure. I don't know the film that well.
Oh well. Well, let's move on to supporting actor then.
Yeah.
I hope Edward Norton doesn't get it, because I just don't want Edward Norton to win an Oscar.
I really like Edward Norton in every film I see him in. That does not necessarily mean that I like Edward Norton. And frankly, between the two Hulks that are up for the actor here, I hope it's the good Hulk.
Yeah. Well, I, you know, there's a lot of people, I would very much like either J.K. Simmons or Mark Ruffalo to win this one.
I think.
Because I like them both a lot.
Yeah.
The trouble is I haven't seen either of their films for this one.
I'm looking at, I want to see The Judge, and I want to see Boyhood. I think Ethan Hawke will win this one for Boyhood.
Mm.
Merely based on some of the reviews I've read of it, where people are saying he really stands out. And Ethan Hawke's a good actor, that's the thing. The annoying thing for me with Ethan Hawke is a lot of his roles are pretty forgettable. Like, it's not Ethan Hawke in this film. It's not like all these characters played by Ethan Hawke. It's more, oh, Ethan Hawke's in this film. Like, it's just Ethan Hawke again. Like, I haven't really seen anything where I've thought anything other than, and I feel the same for, like Brad Pitt, in the sense that you don't go and watch, sort of World War Z, for example, and see whatever character, you know, you're not looking at this character, you're looking at Brad Pitt. And the same with Ethan Hawke. You're looking at Ethan Hawke. Unfortunately, I do feel the same about J.K. Simmons, but I enjoy J.K. Simmons so much that it doesn't bother me. J.K. Simmons will always be J. Jonah Jameson to me. And that's the only role I've ever seen him in where I've not thought, you're J.K. Simmons. In that, he was J. Jonah Jameson. But that is because, really, when you think about it, he was born for that role. So I would love to see J.K. Simmons get it. I do think Ethan Hawke's going to get it. Obviously, I'd like to see Mark Ruffalo with an Oscar. I do think Mark Ruffalo has probably got some time in him to do something better. I do hope Ed Norton doesn't get it, but if he did, I'd be happy because I do like him as an actor, and even though I don't respect him as a person, I think he's a turd. I've never seen a bad film with Ed Norton in, so... I'm trying to think of one now. I genuinely haven't seen one. He doesn't do bad films.
No.
So, but I think.
Well, a lot of people would have various arguments about The Incredible Hulk, but it was a good film.
Yeah. No, that's the thing. It was a good film. It was just the way he. It's basically the way he act. Not necessarily the way he acted, but the way he, you know, held himself on set, the way he was on set, and his problem with. Creative control is his downfall. So I'd like to see J.K. Simmons. I think Ethan Hawke's going
to
get it.
Well, I suppose maybe that's why I don't want him to get it for Birdman, because it was basically just him being himself.
But again, I don't think he was particularly memorable. He was funny, yeah. But that film was held on one thing, and that was Michael Keaton. But again, we'll get to it. Let's go to actress in a leading role. So you've got Marion Cotillard in 2 Days, 1 Night, which, I mean, she's already won an Oscar, I think. She doesn't deserve another Oscar. Felicity Jones in The Theory of Everything. Julianne Moore in Still Alice. Rosamund Pike in Gone Girl. And Reese Witherspoon in Wild. Well, again, Reese Witherspoon learning a lesson. No thank you. There are two names that stand out. There's the one that I want to win, and there's the one that is going to win, and there's no competition between who's going to win. Felicity Jones will win.
She will. I know. I hope it's Rosamund Pike.
I'd love for it to be Rosamund Pike. She completely deserves it.
She does.
She was fucking terrifying in that film. I loved her, I hated her, then I wanted to kill her, and then I was afraid that if I was going to kill her, she'd probably kill me first.
She was everything. She was just fantastic.
She was phenomenal in the film. And don't get me wrong, Ben Affleck was good, but she was good. But Felicity Jones will win. No doubt about
it. It's a shame, because she was good. I mean, she's certainly deserving of a nomination, but I don't think... I think the trouble was she never had a particularly standout scene or a standout moment that really cinched it or nailed it.
I mean, the trouble with the
Theory of Everything, I think, is that it kept going and never really stopped to pause.
Yeah.
It just kept going along the timeline.
Mm-hmm.
of Stephen Hawking's life, and yes, she was good in it, and she, you know, it did, she portrayed, you know, the hardship and the suffering of it, and having, you know, having been someone who said, yes, I'm ready for this, I can do it, then struggling and falling down and this and that, but
mm-hmm.
there was just, yeah, there wasn't a standout scene with her for me.
There was nothing where it is.
Yeah. Whereas Rosamund Pike, it was every moment she was on screen was a standout moment.
Because you were waiting for her to do something the entire time.
Yeah.
And even the scene where she was robbed, you still thought she's got something up her sleeve. And lo and behold, she fucking did. I mean, the one solace I'm taking in is that Gone Girl seems to be a bit of an underdog there. He seems to be sort of like, out of all the nominations they could think of, that seems a bit strange to be there. I'm hoping that it's there because it's won. And I'm thinking the only reason that could be is if Eddie Redmayne gets the Oscar for Best Lead. Which I think is entirely possible, but that's, I believe, is the next one, isn't it?
Yeah, well, let's move on to
actor and leading role.
Leading actor.
Yeah.
I think all very deserving, I think.
Yeah.
Possibly, definitely. I don't know about American Sniper. The only trouble is the only thing I've really heard about that is people saying, isn't it a bit iffy to do a film about something that's so recent, about a real person? Where you don't have enough time to have passed to give it enough context.
Yeah, yeah.
But obviously, you know, I can't, you know, that's not a factor when choosing the best actor. I would be happy with almost any of them. Michael Keaton was fantastic. I mean, Steve Carell is good at whatever he does. You know, he's been in some bad things, but he's never been the bad thing in a thing.
Yeah, he's never been the thing wrong with it. There are other mitigating factors that have made Steve Carell's films bad in some instances.
I think, although I would like it to be Benedict Cumberbatch, he would be the one I would pick, because I thought his, especially towards the end of The Imitation Game, he just, the slow breakdown was wonderful. But I think it'll probably be Eddie Redmayne, because he was really excellent, and he did have the standout moments.
Mm-hmm.
He had the standout moments that Felicity Jones didn't. In the, you know, there's the scenes with him struggling to get upstairs to see his son, finding out about it, and then I think he probably deserves it.
Looking at the nomination,
I mean, obviously Michael Keaton was fantastic. He was really good, and it's a shame they're up against each other.
Yeah.
In this category, but I think I'd have to go for Eddie Redmayne over Michael Keaton.
I mean, you've pretty much taken the words right out of my mouth there. With American Sniper, as much as I do feel that the film is about this sort of like very sort of, you know, and good on America for being so patriotic about themselves, because somebody's got to like America. And as much as I rip on them, you know, I love America. I'd love to go back there, you know. I do enjoy America. There are a lot of American things. American patriotism is one of those things I don't so much like, but I do know it's supposed to be a good film. And I do know that for a film that is basically about one character, and that character is Bradley Cooper, he holds the film amazingly. Mm. That being said, I don't think he's going to win. It's a nice nomination for him.
No.
Bradley Cooper already has an Oscar. I believe he already has an Oscar. And if he doesn't, he's going to get one eventually.
Yeah.
Benedict Cumberbatch as Alan Turing deserves an Oscar. I don't think he's going to win, but again, Benedict Cumberbatch is one of those actors. He's going to get an Oscar.
He will get an Oscar one day.
It's not even one day. Within the next 5 years, he'll have an Oscar. Steve Carell is very reminiscent of Jonah Hill in the sense that last year, Jonah Hill was up for Best Supporting Actor, and I feel that he should have got it because he's one of those actors that comes along and for all the silliness that he does, he shows you in just one performance, I know what I'm doing, I know how to act. And Steve Carell probably isn't going to get another shot at Best Actor. And I'd love for Steve Carell to have an Oscar. Just because it's Steve Carell. And like you say, Steve Carell hasn't necessarily done anything bad himself. He's just been in some bad movies and some bad things. And it's not necessarily Steve Carell's fault. He's one of the most likeable people in Hollywood, I feel. So again, I'd love for him to get the Oscar. He's not going to get it, though.
I don't know. I think... I think he's the main contender for people I hope wouldn't get it, but I think might. The trouble is, I haven't seen Foxcatcher.
I think if he did get it, it would be for the reasons I've just said.
Yeah.
Because he's probably not going to get another shot, and he's such a likeable actor that he kind of deserves it just on merit of, wow, you're a really nice guy.
I think he might win it.
Yeah.
Because everyone thinks it will be Eddie Redmayne.
Yeah. Michael Keaton deserves this Oscar.
Yeah.
Michael Keaton should get this Oscar because he held that entire film on his own. From the get-go, from that first line of how did we get to this place, it smells like balls. I was hooked. He deserves the Oscar and My only problem with the film was they're threatening all this time for it to get dark and for it to get dark, and when it does, it doesn't really get dark. But that kind of just sums up Michael Keaton's character altogether. Mm. He was phenomenal in that film, but he's not going to get it because I feel Eddie Redmayne, and I'm not disappointed by this, Eddie Redmayne put so much work into becoming Stephen Hawking. It doesn't feel like I'm watching Eddie Redmayne. It feels like I'm looking at Stephen Hawking in these photos, in these trailers, in everything. Eddie Redmayne will get it. Annoyingly, Eddie Redmayne will get an Oscar if he doesn't get it now. So why give it to him now? Make the little cunt work for it. Give it to Michael Keaton or give it to Steve Carell. Michael Keaton may have another chance of getting an Oscar. I don't think Steve Carell will. I think this is his one and only shot. And if he doesn't get it, the annoying thing is he's going to do the typical Steve Carell thing of going, well, I'm just happy to have been nominated. I don't think he's going to get built for another Oscar anytime soon.
I don't know. I could see him doing another thing like this. To be honest, I don't think he's out for the count.
I hope that because of the reception of this film, that he does think, well, maybe I should start doing some more serious stuff.
Mm.
And it has been the last sort of 2 years, really, that you've started to see Steve Carell move away from comedy and start going into not necessarily darker things, although this is quite dark, but certainly more drama-based things with humour than comedy with a bit of action or a bit of drama or something. So I'd love to see Steve Carell make that career transition and become a fully fledged sort of like recognised actor rather than a comedy actor, because it seems that the Academy just doesn't give recognition to comedy actors. I just think Eddie Redmayne will win. I don't even think there's going to be sort of a doubt. Everyone is going to expect Eddie Redmayne to win it, which is why I really hope someone else wins it.
Yeah.
But I would be happy with all of them. I'd like to see the Oscar in Michael Keaton's hands. But
yeah,
if he doesn't get it, I'm sure he'll do something
else. No, I think with that category, it's one where I don't think there would be a disappointing result.
Yeah.
Because they all genuinely really deserve it. I mean,
the thing that makes me
in my opinion, you know, obviously.
The thing that makes me happy is this was, ironically, because the whole film, Birdman, is about this actor trying to make a comeback. This is a huge comeback for Michael Keaton. Mm. All of a sudden, he's on everyone's lips again. He's a hot commodity again now. And I'm hoping that he stays that way because he's a good actor.
Well, of course he's on everyone's lips again. Emma Stone set up Twitter and Facebook for him.
Exactly. He's going to be doing Birdman 4. So, okay, let's move on to Best Picture.
Okay, well, here's the big one, the cincher.
Mm-hmm. We've got American Sniper, Birdman, Boyhood, Grand Budapest Hotel, Whiplash, The Theory of Everything, Selma, and The Imitation Game. Now, I think it's between two films.
Who do you think it's between, then?
I think it's between Boyhood, because mm-hmm. of the way it was made. It's unique in its style. It's the only film that's ever done this so far. And I think that is why it win. Or Selma, because why not? Because isn't it controversial to not nominate any black people, but oh look, we've given it the best film because that's what it deserved.
I don't know, it's not been that underdone, you know. Selma's been in quite a few categories.
Yeah.
And
this is what annoys me, that there's such controversy about it. Well, I'm not being funny. This year a film came out called Dear White People. You don't see that getting a nomination. Why aren't people annoyed about that? You know, they're annoyed that the Academy hasn't nominated, or, you know, any big black stars and black movies. I can't think of any that come to mind. Really. You know, 12 Years a Slave came out. Guess what? 12 Years a Slave won some stuff. Django Unchained came out. Guess what? Django Unchained won some stuff. I can't think of any big sort of amazing black films that have come out. And it fucking pisses me off. Honestly pisses me off. That I have to use the word black films, because films shouldn't come down to race. Films are fucking films.
Mm.
It's got nothing to do with race when it comes to this sort of stuff. And it just feels like, because maybe they're disappointed that Selma wasn't nominated for something, because the person playing Martin Luther King wasn't immediately nominated for Best Actor, that they can play the race card. Oh, it's because he's black? No, it's not. It's nothing to do with that. It's just that other people are more deserving.
Yeah.
That's not to say he won't get nominated next year for something, or the year after. You know, it's... I don't know. What do you think? What do you think's going?
I think quite probably Boyhood, or I think Whiplash might sneak a win.
You think?
Funnily enough, yeah. I think it's Whiplash. If I was going to pick an underdog to sneak up and win it, it would be Whiplash. The Imitation Game is the underdog. I would like to win it, but I don't think it won't.
I think the Imitation Game
was very good, but I don't think it was Best Picture good.
I think The Imitation Game and The Theory of Everything are probably going to be struck from the winning list, just because they're going to win a couple of other things.
Yeah,
that's the reason why I really
hope that either Cumberbatch or Knightley gets the actor Oscar, because the two of them really really made that film.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. We're looking at it next to the others. I think The Theory of Everything is probably quite seriously in the running, though. Again, I'm not sure it quite deserves it. Because, as I say, it focused a little too much on the whole relationship side. Oh, look, isn't the wife having a bit of trouble?
Yeah.
No, let's focus on Stephen Hawking a little more, please. But I think it's seriously in the running.
Yeah. I'd love to see Birdman get it, but if Birdman got it, I'd feel like it doesn't really deserve any other Oscars. Because it's a good film, and I enjoyed it. And I'd like to see Michael Keaton get the Oscar for Best Actor. But if it's going to get Best Picture, then it doesn't deserve the other stuff, because that just encompasses everything.
Yeah.
Which includes actors and the cinematography. If they're not going to do that, that's when I feel that it should at least deserve the cinematography. Just for the continuous motion shots.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, I think Boyhood's going to get it, though, just because of the, like I say, because of the sort of gimmick that it holds.
So, yeah.
But that's my theory. That's where I think I'm going with the Oscars there. Are there any things that you think have been left out that you feel? Any snubs that really stand out to your mind? Other than, of course.
I think we've covered them all pretty thoroughly. There's nothing in particular that really stands out to me that I've seen this year. And I've been to the cinema a fair bit. I've seen most of the blockbusters, I think. Mm-hmm. So, obviously, How to Train Your Dragon. Jonathan Powell really should have got the soundtrack there, the score.
Yeah.
And it would have been nice to see The Winter Soldier in one more category.
Yeah.
I think, because it was... It deserved a lot of the hype it got. After it came out, everyone immediately started making lists of the best Marvel films so they could put it at the top of it.
Yeah.
Of the list. I think putting them into lists is stupid and arbitrary, but I do think it was deserving of perhaps another nomination.
Mm-hmm. Gone Girl for me, I think could have been at least nominated for a couple of things. Mm. I really did enjoy that film a lot.
That's true. That could have. I think the main nomination it should have had is there.
Yeah.
But you're right in that it could have used a couple more.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, I know. Looking at the main actors as to why he wasn't in the running for the role, but I did enjoy Matthew McConaughey in Interstellar. But looking at the nominations, I can see why he wouldn't have won. So, but no, I think we've covered the main snubs. Really fucking annoying snubs. Just the one. It's shocking. But
yeah.
I kind of would have liked to have seen a little bit more of The Hobbit, but that's not the Academy's fault. That's The Hobbit's fault. It should have been better. And the most annoying thing is, that's not even Peter Jackson's fault.
Mm.
That's New Line and Warner Brothers' fault for going, these two films you're making, should we make them into three? No. Yeah, we weren't asking.
The last one was three, so...
Yeah. The last one was three, adds up to six. Five's an unlucky number, is it? It is in Middle-earth. Okay. Well, I think we've covered the Oscars then, haven't we?
Yeah.
We are changing the format of the show now,
we are.
Our bad movie reviews. They're going to be a separate entity altogether. We're going to be recording them separately, doing them, pumping them out. Still once a week.
They're still going to be weekly. They will be on the same feed and same website to begin with.
Yeah.
They may get their own feed and website and. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to start work on a YouTube account. Probably it won't be this week. It'll probably be next week. But then it'll be sort of one encompassing YouTube page with two separate playlists of podcasts and bad movie reviews. So even all the old ones are going to be separated and organised. But so if you like those, don't worry. They're going to beat
They're not gone, though. They'll be with you momentarily.
And if because we're doing that, we can start playing around with some new ideas as well. So.
True, yeah. So we may turn bad movie reviews into more introduce some more fun games.
Yeah, absolutely.
For that, but we'll see. You know, watch this space.
Yep, absolutely. And
if there's anything in particular you'd like to suggest, then do get in touch.
Yep.
The website is thetagpodcast.wordpress.com and the email address is thetagpodcast@gmail.com.
At Google Mail.
Sorry, my personal email is at Google Mail, which is annoying, rather than Gmail. So.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway.
Thank you for listening.
All the best. Cheers. Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.